74 degrees on the outside. This is the Station of the Nation, AM 1270 WHLD. The doctor is in the house.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon. It's Monday, September 27, 2004, and welcome to today's show. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? And the answer to that question is a lot, especially for you older adults and caregivers that are listening out there. You should not settle for less. Last week, we talked about spirituality and aging, live in the studio with Reverend James Lewis III and Mrs. Carol Wolf, and Rabbi Ronald Kopelman weighing in over the phone. Today's show is called Getting the Word Out to Older Adults and Caregivers, specifically how the print media helps to disseminate important information about aging-related issues. A quick reminder that the phone lines are open for your calls, 855-6848. If you can't get through or prefer not to talk on the air, you can email your questions to me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. Or send them to the station via regular mail, WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, 14202. A self-assessment booklet, caregiver's handbook, and additional information related to the topics discussed on the shows can be found at the website whatshouldyouexpect.com. The phone number for your calls again is 855-6848, and we're here to answer your questions. For the first half of today's show, I have in the studio Bonnie DeGweck and Phyllis Gorski, publishers of After 50 News, a monthly publication aimed at the over 50 public population. Welcome, Bonnie. Welcome, Phyllis.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Are you there?
Thanks for having us.
Phyllis is a little shy, but that's okay. We'll get her to talk a little bit. Now, I want to ask you, what is your target audience? How is your newspaper distributed, including where can people get it? And who provides the support? Where does the money come from for you to do all the good things you're doing?
Okay, first of all, our newspaper reaching audience is 50 years and older. You can be reached in various locations, your Wegmans, Jubilee, Taft, Walmart, most of your restaurants, healthcare facilities. We're 40,000 strong distribution outlets and scientists about everywhere you go.
Now, is it, it's at the checkouts or is it at the entrances to the facility? Okay.
It's a free publication.
It's free, okay. Mm-hmm. And I believe, is there also a way to subscribe if people want it delivered to the house?
Yeah, you can subscribe if you like. Just turn to the back part of the publication.
Okay.
Basically, it's there to provide them a service in case they can't get out to get it, or next year papers have been going very quickly, so they get a little upset if they're not there before you're sure you get your copy.
Okay, and there is a fee for that to cover, I guess, mailing costs, basically.
Dollars.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And how is it sponsored? How do you support that? How do you support yourself? You don't have to go into the full details, but basically, I know you have advertising.
Yes, we basically count on our advertisers, and because we're a free publication, and they've been with us for years, they're more than supportive.
And you also have a website, I believe, and mm-hmm. And that
it is www.after50news.com.
And how about a phone number for people to call you if they want to subscribe or want more information?
Sure. Area code 716-832-9300.
Okay. Well, there you have it. And your office, I believe, is on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Yes, it is.
somewhat inconspicuous, but it serves the purpose for something that's free to the public but extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I had a few questions I wanted to ask. I covered a few right there. Now, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourselves now and how the newspaper came into being?
Okay. Well, I was with the old Senior Beacon since back in 1988. I believe it was one of the first senior publications in the area. And from there, we was there for about 13 years and spent another 3 years with another senior publication in the area.
Now, what happened to the Senior Beacon?
They sold their publication.
Okay. And it became...
Forever Young.
Forever Young, okay. And Forever Young is another paper that is published to provide information to the population.
Yeah.
And you were there for a period of time. And then how did After 50 come about?
Well, came about just for, let's say, a need for a change on all our parts. And we really needed to feel that wanted to get out in the community more. We wanted to reach the senior population. We feel they're the most unrepresented group out there.
And it's not only seniors, it's also caregivers.
Caregivers, baby boomers,
the sandwich generation, as I've spoken about in previous shows, all those people that really need help or are experiencing issues related to getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And so you started, when was the start of After 50?
Believe in that, April Fool's Day, April 1st.
Okay, of what year?
This year, 2004,
this year.
Yes.
Okay, so you're...
Went to our seventh month of publication.
Wow, so you're not even at a year's anniversary,
no.
And how's it going for you?
It's going great. I mean, the response... The letters, the emails, the cards have just been phenomenal.
Now, what are typical features of the paper?
We're very well-rounded. We have a lot of different things for all different types of people. We have a poet's corner. We have a life coach.
The poet's corner, where do the poems come from?
That's sent in. We have different poets that have sent in books, and it's nice because you're reaching all different areas of people. We're not stereotyping anyone. We have a Theater Around Town by Randy Kramer. We have Spirituality by 21st Century by Carol Wolf. Doug Carpenter, Every Boomer, which is a very, very popular column. We have Defining Moments by Paul Shamira. And we're going to be adding some new columns. Nora Peckins, she's a... writes on our caregiving. She's also a private geriatric practitioner.
Now, I see, I have September's paper here, and I know you just closed the October issue, I guess
mm-hmm.
that's the term, and it's going to be out on the newsstands when?
It'll be out on the 30th.
On the 30th, okay. So that's coming right up. This issue, the cover was the best of the best, talking about Coordinated Care 2004 Primetime Award honorees. With a nice picture of the honorees, and also a special section on Alzheimer's disease. And there's a lot of good information on what goes on with Alzheimer's disease, and a special section like this to the institutions that are featured, I would presume they help sponsor this special
section.
They support
the section, and it's been a very received section. I remember working back with Alzheimer's years ago, and with something that was very very small, and it's kind of graduated into a very large thing around Western New York. A lot of people with dementia, Alzheimer's disease, a lot of people have it and don't realize that they do.
Now, have you had personal experiences with aging? Not necessarily yourselves, because you're young ladies.
My mother lived to be a ripe old age of 91, and she had, signs of severe dementia, possibly even Alzheimer's. And But though she was 91, she never thought herself to be old. It's amazing that older people don't think that they're old, and I think that's a good outlook to, you know, to keep. She would say, "Who's that old granny over there?" And here she was 91 herself, so that's how I think you view things.
So you probably developed a sensitivity to
absolutely
to grandparents and parents getting older, and that translated into this effort. And you too, Phyllis?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any specific circumstances or experiences that you know, resulted down the road in what you're doing today?
Well, none that are personal to me, but being I've worked so long in this field, you know, you have a sensitivity for people who are going through this, the families, and it's a difficult situation, and you know, we're there to help get the word out, no matter who we reach, whether it's the caregiver or, you know, just somebody looking for general information. So.
Now, what makes your paper unique? There are several publications. In the second half of the show, I will have as my guest people involved with some of the other publications, but what makes yours unique? And my basic opinion about this, and I mentioned it previously on the air, with regard to radio shows or any effort to get the word out to older adults and caregivers, is the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
The more we can be getting good information that's going to help people in their lives, the better. And but is there, you know, anything that sets yours aside, or you know, how yours is complementary to the other publications?
I think all publications complement each other. We each have our own little niche and things that we're trying to get out there. But I think with ours is we're very community orientated. We're out to educate not just our seniors, but our caregivers as well. And I think that we do that very well with our editorial. We don't want to make it too old. We don't want to make it too young, because again, older people don't feel that they're old. They can be 90 and still going out to dinner, still going traveling. In fact, we know some 90-year-olds that are still driving cars. So it's a very hard niche to reach, because you need to reach the caregivers so that they can get help out to the seniors who really need it, and sometimes they're unaware that they even need the help.
Well, let me go through the paper. I mentioned the cover, and the Every Boomer is a column done by a fellow named Doug Carpenter. And let me read a little bit of a section in his column this month called "Apparently You Can Teach an Old Doug New Tricks," and his name is Doug Carpenter. "You have to understand, I've always been one of those people with a special knack of trivia. Okay, I say special. Other people say annoying. Let's move on. The kind of person that no one would play Trivial Pursuit with, unless, of course, I was on their team. Who's Mr. Popularity then, huh? Anyway, the weird thing is, all that trivia stuff is still right there in my head where it always was. Go ahead, ask me something. Alexander the Great's horse's name? Bucephalus. The middle name of Star Trek's Captain Kirk? Tiberius. Tiberius? No wonder Shatner overacted." And that's just a little bit from his column. Now, I had as my guest last week Carol Wolf, and she has a column in the paper also. And her column is talking about faith, spirituality, and aging. And let me see. We also have a person called the Life Coach. And I'm trying to find the Life Coach's column here. Yeah, Carol Wolf, Faith in Action, 21st Century Spirituality, Poetry and Prose. And here's, it's under caring, the general heading of caring, and ask the Life Coach, answering life's important questions. And here's a question that was asked of the Life Coach. And the Life Coach's name is Amy Remley. "Dear Ask the Life Coach, I've noticed that I have more difficulty maintaining a healthy weight as I get older, but to be honest, I have had this issue for most of my life. How do I choose from all of the, quote, diets out there? Signed by Diet Overdosed. And it starts out, the life coach's response, Americans are 60% overweight, and Western New York has one of the highest incidences of heart disease, so weight is a critical issue. But I say when checkout counter magazines or television ads are attacking you with the latest miracle diets, picture a police officer with a bullhorn saying, back away from the media. Stop and use age-old wisdom. First, see if there are any medical problems and what level of physical activity is safe for you. Then realize that the old knowledge is still true. Eat a healthy, balanced diet, engage in the right amount of exercise, take in fewer calories than you use to lose weight, and take in the same amount of calories than you use to maintain your weight. So the life coach, and that's just an excerpt from the life coach's column. It seems to be some good common sense advice. And what I tell my patients is the way to lose weight is not put it in your mouth. It's pretty simple. If the fewer calories you have going in, then the fewer that are likely to stick to your belly, your bottom, and elsewhere. Now, we happen to have in the studio today the life coach, and I'd like to welcome her now, Amy Remley. Welcome.
Hi.
And I'm going to share my microphone with the life coach, and I just would like you to mention what prompted you to do a column, how you happened to come about doing a column in After 50, and what you hope to achieve with your column.
Well, I noticed the after 50 because I'm 47 now, and it's starting to become an issue. And I thought, well, this
we're
is
the
a,
same age.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is a population that's going to.
And it is
to,
becoming an issue.
Yes. And my mother is getting elderly, and I'm spending part of my time taking care of her. And I noticed that issues, questions change as you get older. The answers, of course, almost always stay the same from the time we're little to the time we're old, but the questions do change, and the issues that people face change. And so I found it a very valuable publication, and called and introduced myself to Bonnie and Phyllis, and found that we had like thinking and got along very well, and we all thought this was a good idea.
Well, as a life coach, what are the top three issues you can mention that involve a senior population? What are the top three things that you've been asked, that you've given advice on? And you don't have to go through all the advice right now, but let's just be aware of your experience and what people have been asking you.
Health issues, of course, become very critical as you get older. It's a big thing, and it's you can't avoid emotional and psychological issues around health. I mean, it's about your body, then it's about your mind. And loss. Loss is a very big thing. The older we get, the more we've lost. The more people we've lost, the more health we've lost, the more physical abilities we've lost, the more relationships we've lost, and the more traumas we've encountered. So loss is a major issue in how to transition and navigate through loss. And I'd say relationships are very important. You have relationships that are in flux a lot of the time. You've had age-old relationships, so it's a major issue. And retirement, of course. Retirement is a big deal.
So we have several things that the life coach offers and will likely cover in her column in the months to come, including, diet's been covered, loss, relationships, mood and emotional problems, and probably including things like depression, how to deal with depression, and
yes.
And caregiver stress are things we've talked about on the show before. You also, besides having the column, can you just tell us a few final words about what your background is and how you help people outside of the column in terms of being a professional life coach and available to people. And you can mention a phone number to call if you'd like.
Sure. I have my background in psychology. My husband and I have had a private practice for about 25 years now, and we see individual clients counseling, and in seminars and workshops we see people out of our offices, and we go into businesses, schools, We train other healthcare professionals, and we of course have our own individual clients that we help people basically to make changes and improvements in their lives. And if somebody has an issue like with depression or with anxiety, we help with that. If they have a fear, or if they just want to improve their performance in something, become a better public speaker, if they want to give up a bad habit like cigarette smoking, like eating bad foods and overeating, etc., they want to increase their exercise, they want to just make some positive change in their life, we do see our individual clients. And we have a business called Peak of Success, and our phone number is 626-5977. And we also have a community service website, www.askthelifecoach.com, where people can get their questions answered.
Well, thanks so much, Amy. And Bonnie and Phyllis, you're a columnist. What do you look for in a columnist, and do you have any specific goals of what you're trying to achieve through the columns? And where do you expect yourself to be 5, 10, 25 years from now?
Not in Florida, that's for sure. But one thing we look for in our
columnists... That's good. There'll be at least two people remaining in Buffalo, right? I'll be here, too.
...is to be very personable in their columns, and honesty is very important. We want to talk over our readers. We want to put them in situations where they can relate and read and say, oh, I know somebody who's done this or had this, so they can... You know, see the picture and see how that our columns, you know, can really help them or their loved ones.
Phyllis, any addition? A guy like Randy Kramer with the theater column, how does he gear his column towards older adults and caregivers?
Well, Randy spreads the word throughout the community, what's going on in the theater district, and being in the theater business himself, the variety that he talks about is what our readers need to hear. You know, I mean, they're their average theater goers, so he just keeps them up to date
on what's out there.
He does a fine job, and we've gotten so many nice letters regarding that, so we're glad to have him.
Well, let me finish our half hour, and you can comment on this, all three of you, after I read this. I got this email recently, and it's called The New ABCs, Ain't It the Truth? My ABCs. A is for apple and B is for boat. That used to be right, but now it won't float. Age before beauty is what we once said, but let's be a bit more real instead. Now, A's for arthritis, B's the bad back, C is the chest pains, perhaps, cardiac, D is for dental decay and decline, E is for eyesight, can't read that top line, F is for fissures and fluid retention, G is for gas, which I'd rather not mention, H is high blood pressure, I'd rather it low, I for incisions with scars you can show, J is for joints out of socket, won't mend, K is for knees that crack when they bend. L for libido, what happened to sex. M is for memory, I forgot, what comes next. N is neuralgia, in nerves way down low. O is for osteo, the bones that don't grow. P for prescriptions, I have quite a few. Just give me a pill and I'll be good as new. Q is for queasy, is it fatal or flu? R for reflux, one meal turns to two. S for sleepless nights, counting my fears. T for tinnitus, there's bells in my ears. U is for urinary, big troubles with flow. V is for vertigo, that's dizzy, you know. W is for worry, now what's going round? X is for x-ray and what might be found. Y is another year, I'm left here behind. Z is for zest that I still have in my mind. I've survived all the symptoms my body's deployed, and I've kept 26 doctors fully employed.
That's very cute.
So I think that's a prescription right there of how to keep topics for my show coming and your newspaper coming, and I think the life coach also might have a few things to comment about on all of those things. Any final words that any of you would like to mention?
Well, I'd just like to tell our readers our October issue is coming out very soon. And to watch for our cover, we have Susan Banks from WKBW on the cover. And she's doing an open interview about her bout with breast cancer. And since October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we are pleased to have her. And she's such a joy. She did a wonderful interview with us. So just wanted to say look for her and look for all the facilities that are promoting the mammography and breast cancer awareness.
It's absolutely critical, and you're never too old to get a mammogram.
No.
And I recommend it to my patients, it's extremely important. If you let things go, the suffering down the line is something that you want to avoid in breast cancer, no matter what age you are. And it's very simple to do. A bit uncomfortable, I understand, but extremely important and very available. You don't need a referral from your doctor. Medicare pays in full, and all the HMOs also cover it fully. Anything else? Life coach, Amy.
Thank you for having me on. And thank Phyllis and Bonnie for supporting a life coach in their paper, because it helps to destigmatize getting the kind of help that we offer. And all populations need emotional and psychological support and help every now and then, and it's real good to make it more public.
Yeah, I second that, and it's unfortunate that psychiatric or psychological care is not just classified as a brain disease, just as we have cardiac disease and bowel disease and eye disease and ear disease and everything else disease, mood problems, depression, anxiety, caregiver stress. Those are brain diseases that can be approached not just through medicines, but through counseling and other very good approaches. And people like Amy here are people here that might be able to help. Bonnie?
Again, I'd like to thank you all for being on. And I'd like to thank our readers and our advertisers for all their support. Our paper has come about a second-degree turn, shall I say, after only 7 months. We have grown by leaps and bounds, and if it wasn't for our loyal readers and our advertisers, we couldn't get the word out from Amy and from all our other columnists. So thank you very much for, you know, all your support, and look for a lot more coming in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie DeGweck and Phyllis Gorski.
Thank you for having us.
Publishers of After 50, Amy Remley, the life coach, and best wishes in your wonderful efforts to get the word out to older adults and caregivers. Time for a short break. We'll be right back.
side. It's all in the family.
We're back now with today's show entitled Getting the Word Out to Older Adults and Caregivers about how the print media helps get the word out about aging issues. My guest for the second half of the show is Jerry Flaschner, publisher of Living Primetime. If you would like to call and ask me or my guest a question, the phone number again is 855-6848. Welcome, Jerry.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much, Doc.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the history of Living Primetime?
Living Primetime, Doc, is now in its 10th year. And really very, very proud of what we've achieved. It is a magazine. It is not for free, but paid for through subscription and through a newsstand. And it's a story publication. We don't deal with advertising as advertising. We deal more with stories and sponsors.
Okay.
And everything we do is positive, it's upbeat, and it's colorful.
So tell me exactly, your target audience. We're talking about older adults and caregivers. Is that your target audience?
We go beyond that. We found that baby boomers are vital to caregivers and to the senior audience, and so our magazine is for baby boomers and 50-plus, really demographic from 35 to 105.
Okay, now you're separating out baby boomers from caregivers, and just explain a little bit what the dynamics is there and where baby boomers come into the caregiving and aging situation.
We don't really separate them. As a matter of fact, we include them because they're very, very vital. Many of the decisions made by seniors and caregivers are made helpfully by baby boomers.
Okay.
For parents, for grandparents. They need the baby boomers. And the baby boomers are both helpful to parents and grandparents. They're also looking for what's going to happen when they turn 15.
And baby boomers are getting older themselves.
Right.
So, you know, we're extending, and baby boomers are how old now?
1946 to 1964 was the technical age of baby boomers, and I think that puts them anywhere from the late 30s to the early, late 50s or so.
Right, okay. So, and I do see that very commonly, that baby boomers, my peers, I'm 47, so I'm one of those baby boomer populations. I help out my parents. I try to help out with my grandparents, but I wasn't in a direct caregiving situation, but I certainly am providing emotional support in my profession, professional support, of course, as well. And that seems to be what's happening to my peers. I talk to people, friends, and other family my age, and they're all starting to have issues. Either their knees are going when they play softball, or they can't quite get around the tennis court anymore themselves, or their parents are starting to have problems, or even their grandparents are having problems that they have to deal with.
And when you grow up, you too, Doc, can be a senior. And
well,
as a matter of fact, one of the things that we found 10 years ago when we looked into this is the fact the word senior is not an attractive word. People don't like it. We've made a lot of reference to seasoned citizens rather than senior citizens.
Seasoned citizens.
Right.
I like that. I like that. I try and use the term older adults.
Yeah, that's good.
Meaning that everyone's older than someone else, presumably, so there shouldn't be any derogatory connotation to that. Now, your publication, how do you get support for your publication? Go into that a little more fully. What your publication costs, how it's distributed, how many people you reach.
Ours is not an advertising publication. It's a story publication. We don't we use sponsors and not advertisers, and they're all heavily involved in the publication. And our distribution, as I mentioned, is a paid distribution, not a free distribution. It's on sale through newsstands, primarily at the supermarkets. All the Tops and Wegmans have the publication up front where the newspapers are sold, and they're sold for $1.50.
Okay.
We have subscriptions similarly so that people get it at their homes, And we have circulation of thousands, tens of thousands, actually. And then when we get to multimedia, which is our strength, we've added, because years ago we told stories only in print, and then we found that if we told the same stories in the other media, namely the electronic media and radio and television, that we could get more word out to more people. And so we're on 5 days a week. We have a radio show every Sunday that's been on for 8 years. We've had over 400 radio shows. Our television show is on every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, and Friday. So 4 days a week we're on Adelphia 13 television. And 1 day a week we're on KB Radio Sunday nights, all in prime time. And in addition, we have a segment on AM Buffalo with Linda Pellegrino every month. And so we're able to, with that and our website, generate a lot of audience, which we count well beyond 50,000 a month.
And how do you know people are listening, and what kind of feedback do you get
from all of this? We get a lot of feedback. These stations are not such that they're getting ratings, so we don't know exact numbers. And we don't know for sure. We know what our circulation of the magazine is. We know what the readers are and the listeners, and we just get a lot of great feedback. Again, it's positive, it's upbeat, and it's colorful. And the nature of what we do and the stories we tell are very strong editorial-wise.
Now, how many are you selling at the newsstands? Because that should be a good indicator that people are willing to spend a dollar and a half.
Right, by the thousands.
So that's in the thousands. And
right.
Certainly the television and radio reach is also reaching people.
And, oh, sure.
And that's... You know, what I'm trying to do with this show also, from a physician's viewpoint, being able to add also a physician's point of view. And as I talk with the guests in the first half, my position is more the merrier. And I'm enjoying finding out about the people locally that are doing things and even people far afield. I found out recently that there's a psychologist in Hawaii that is doing a radio show, a call-in radio show, for people to ask their questions about getting older. So there are bits and pieces occurring here and there. Do you have a sense how Buffalo measures up to other cities in terms of having direct programming, be it print media or radio or TV, for older adults,
well,
caregivers and baby boomers?
One of the things that we're particularly proud of, Doc, and it's a thing that, in answer to your question, makes us rather unique, is not just the fact that we are in radio and television, but our host is Gary Deeb. Gary started in Buffalo and on to Chicago, has 9 Pulitzer Prize nominations, an outstanding and qualified guy who came back to Buffalo, spent 30 years in Chicago, was nationally syndicated on radio and television, but his basic love is writing. And Gary does our radio shows, he does our television shows, and we've been told nationally that we are the only people in Western New York here and around the country that are multimedia. Many people publish a senior publication. There are some, many have websites that tell their stories, which we do too. And nobody goes beyond that as a radio and television and print and website.
Now, you mentioned the stories and the editorials. What would be a good example of a recent story that really meant something to the people that read it?
Well, I don't know that I can isolate one, but what I'd like to do is touch on what we do almost monthly. We have regular features. The main thing that we do, which is our cover story. And our cover story, we've done hundreds of these now over the last 10 years. They've been so good, it bothered me that they were printed and read and put aside. And so the last year, we've archived them. And if you go to livingprimetime.com, you'll be able to see all of our cover stories, fully with pictures and everything. People that do that, they go to livingprimetime.com. People that do that, I recommend that you also go to Who's Who on the cover story, and you'll see a delightful surprise.
I see on the cover page of May 2004 issue is Irene Snow. Dr.
Right.
Snow is someone
right.
I trained with. I know you've done a story, a cover story on Dr. Evan Calkins, who
right.
was the head of my geriatric fellowship program, and someone I hope to have on my show in the near future. Some of the other topic headings, as I see it, by Jerry Flashner, look at this, be active, Erie County, permission and possibility, Kaleida Health, is that a regular column from Kaleida?
Every month we have humor with Peter Cates, B. Hannaford, and Ginny Purcell, and those are delightful stories. Every month we have senior services from Pam Krawcheck at Erie County and Cleta Nunn in the city. Every month we have health articles by Kaleida, by ECMC, by Hospice, and by Campanella Orthotics and Prosthetics. Financial information every month from KeyBank and Moira Moldenhauer Senior Financial. We have fitness, which is always important to caregivers and seniors, with Richard Durwald, who's our Mr. Fitness, and is on every one of our television shows, and Tom Haney at Village Glen. Travel is always important to seniors, and so we have AAA's John Connors, and then the Sheriff of Erie County, Pat Gallivan, writes our safety column. We have caregiving from Niagara Lutheran, from Schofield, and from People Incorporated. We have education from Erie Community College, from UB and Buff State. We have movie reviews. We have theater. We have baby boomers every month featured. We have insurance articles from Medicare and Univera. We have restaurant stories from Anderson's and Anchor Bar and Chefs and Elia DiPaolo's and more. And sports, this October issue is going to feature the cover story of the 1964 championship Bills and the Bisons and Sabres all the time. So there, every month there's a complete cross-section about so many subjects that that interest some seniors, some seasoned citizens at one point or another.
Now let me ask you about yourself and what got you interested in this multimedia effort and your background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've been in marketing for 50 years, and Tony Masiello 11 years ago said, "Jerry, is there anything we can do to soup up our communications with our seniors in the city of Buffalo?" And so we put together this very colorful, very upbeat, positive approach with stories for seniors, and it's been nothing but a labor of love for the past 10 years.
Now, do you have any personal experiences as a caregiver, as a baby boomer, or maybe not as a baby boomer? I'm not making any assumptions as to when you were born. What personally have you encountered as involving care of the elderly or watching yourself as years go by?
I just turned 75, and I'm as healthy as I could be. A year ago, I had a knee replaced. 2 years ago, I had a shoulder replaced. So I have a little experience with arthritis, and I found the orthopedics people in Western New York are absolutely fantastic. I had a mother who lived to 90 and a mother-in-law who lived to 90, and friends, unfortunately, that are getting sicker. But I love what I'm doing. I love the associations we have in the community, and it's been nothing but a thrill.
Now, where do you see Living Primetime going 5 years, 10 years, 25 years from now? And also, where do you see it in relation to the other excellent efforts that are being made to spread the word?
I think I came across, Doc, a book a few years ago called Gray Dawn. You may be familiar with it, by Peter Peterson. And a few years ago, we took some excerpts from that. And in answer to your question, Living Primetime will stay with the baby boomers and seniors. We will... our mission statement, which we talk about all the time, is that the best is yet to come. It's a very positive approach. We know that it's not easy for everybody to feel that way, but we like to be positive on our approach. In this book by Peter Peterson, there are a couple of things that were particularly interesting, and this is down your alley, and I'm sure you've heard it any time, but global aging is what happens when people start living much longer. Global life expectancies have grown more over the last 50 years than over the previous 5,000 years. In 50 years, more has happened. Perhaps two-thirds of all the people who have ever lived to the age of 65 are alive today. and the span of life, as you know, is just getting that much older.
Sure.
And what's obviously happening, too, is that global aging is also what happens when people start having fewer babies. 30 years ago, the typical woman worldwide had 5 children. Today, it's 2.7 children. So fewer people are being born, and more people are living longer. And the whole society, not just Western New York, not just the United States, but worldwide, are going to be faced with an older population, which provides many, many challenges and much excitement, psychologically, financially, personally, community-wise, et cetera, et cetera. And we are enjoying being at the crux of it all, and we're going to stay there.
Now let's look at the different media that you're tackling. The Living Primetime monthly newspaper. Do you call it a newspaper or a magazine or publication?
No,
or?
It's definitely a magazine.
Okay.
It's a bound-stitched magazine with...
Okay, I don't...
Go ahead.
I'm not in the publication field, per okay. se, so I didn't really look up the definitions of magazine versus newspaper, but I guess magazine is something that's bound and stitched, or at least has a staple in it, right?
And it's not free, and that's very important to us. We spend extra money on a quality 50-pound white paper. We do a lot graphically that's different than newsprint, news press, et cetera, et cetera, and... We liken ourselves to the major magazine publications, the Time, Newsweek, Life, publications that are around, that people read, that are not, that they have sponsorship in order to exist, but they aren't designed for sponsorship. They're not penny saver, coupon, throwaway publications. They're publications that are well read.
Okay. Now, you have the magazine. Tell us about the radio show briefly. What are the typical topics that you cover and what kind of format? You mentioned the host of the radio show.
Right. The radio show is an extension of the magazine. It's more of the same, and it gives the same people that I mentioned that we include the opportunities to tell their story like we are now on radio as well as in print. Some people listen, some people read, some people watch. And we'd like to hit them all. For 8 years, we've done over 400 shows. We tape them. Right. And then they're aired every Sunday night on KB Radio. By the way, KB now is a 50,000-watt station, as you well know, which means we're getting an audience, and we do hear from them, in about 20 states up and down the East Coast. So even though our stories are by Western New Yorkers and for Western New Yorkers, we hear from people in New Jersey and Virginia and all over. And our subscriptions come from people, many of them who've lived in Buffalo, who want to keep in touch with Buffalo. But the subject matter, regardless that it's locally written, is applicable to anybody in the country.
Sure. Now, how about TV?
Television is the same. We tape our television show once a month, and then on Adelphia 13. And then we air it every Tuesday night at 7:30, every Wednesday at noon, every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and every Friday at 7:30. So when we do a television show, this month, for example, Randy Kramer at Musical Fair is on with talking about theater. And Moira Moldenhauer from Senior Financial is on talking about financial issues for Senior. And then every month, our Mr. Fitness is on. And that show will be heard 16 times during the month of September.
Now, someone like giving financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
How do you ensure that the information's objective, that it applies to everyone, that it's not just someone trying to generate business for themselves and skewing things to that aspect of finances.
Very good point, Doc. Because Moira Moldenhauer is not selling anything. She's objectively talking about long-term care, what people need objectively, what you should think about, what you should consider at different times in your life. And she's available for a conference, but she's not prejudicially selling one form of insurance or another. KeyBank is doing the same thing. They're talking to people, as do all of our stories. When the sheriff talks to people, or Univera talks to people, or Collider talks to people, they're talking about their profession. And that brings up an important subject. One of the things that I'm particularly proud of is the nature of our board. When I first started out this magazine 10 years ago, I said to myself, there's really a lot that I don't know. and I don't want to publish anything which is not official. And so I asked a number of friends and leaders in the community to serve on an advisory board. I promised them three things. I promised them, number one, there would be no meetings, so it wouldn't occupy a lot of their time. Number two, there'd be no money. I didn't want their money. I wanted their expertise. So Gary Bryce at Kaleida, Carl Calabrese at the county, John Connors at AAA, Tony Conney, president of Shays, Dennis DiPaolo at DiPaolo's, Patrick Gallivan, who's sheriff of the county, Phil Haberstroh, who's executive director of the Wellness Institute, Tom Haney at Village Glen, Marcia Henderson, president of KeyBank, Peter Case at Univera, Bob Kaczynski at Empire, and Dennis Lynch at the Bills, Mary Lou Rath, who's senator, and David Smith, who's National Fuel president, and Paul Stasiak, who's with the Auto Association, are in different industries. And when we go to publish something, I will not publish it in their area without running it by them and having their critique. And that's very important quality and integrity-wise.
So those are very good people. And you ask them basically for advice on topic areas, and if you're running a particular article, editorial,
right.
You'll run it by them and
absolutely
for objectivity, I guess,
right.
And validity and accuracy, that
exactly
sort of
not.
Thing.
Okay. One of the unique things with television, we've had this television show for 6 years now, and when we did a story on Scotty Bowman, it was a unique story that had never been done. Most stories that are done about the person during their prime in life and their future.
Right.
When we did Scotty's story, we went back to his childhood, to his parents, to his grandparents, etc., etc. And then we asked Scotty to be on our television show. Not alone, though, because he's done so many shows and people have seen him, but asked him if Suella, his wife, would come on. Suella had never been on television before and didn't want to be on television, but Scotty brought her on. And the interview with Scotty and Suella was just delightful. And Gary said to Suella, what made you find this man, fall in love with this man, and what's happened in your marriage for 30 years? The same thing happened with Steve and Sarah Tasker. Now, Steve has been on all the time. We did a great story on the two of them. And then Steve brought Sarah on television. She'd never been on. And it was more of the same thing. We just recently in springtime did a story on Eddie and Pat Abramowski. Pat had never been on television. And so when we do stories in print, on radio, and on television, they're unique and different. And the nice part about it is your listening audience can see all of them on our website, livingprimetime.com.
And that's the bottom part of your iceberg. You describe Living Primetime, the magazine being the tip of the iceberg, and then working its way down under the water is the radio, television, and web.
Right.
And your website, how long has that been in existence?
Well, I think we have 36,000 viewers in the last several years, but we've been on for a couple of years now. We don't get a lot of viewing, although now that we've added the cover stories, we found that our daily viewing has doubled and even tripled.
Has doubled, yeah. And what about putting your radio shows on the web or even your TV shows on the web?
I didn't know that until this morning when you and I talked. And I went to your website. We've added your website to our visit our friends and neighbors, and was able to listen to your radio show. I've never heard that before. So you present a very interesting challenge and opportunity for us. I think we're going to do something about that.
Well, I'm working I'm working in my head right now, and hopefully with some computer geeks that know how to do it better than I, to try and get live streaming, as they call it, of my show on the web. By the new year is the goal. It might extend a little past there, but that's the technology certainly that's out there. And
so now you see why the baby boomers are so important to us seniors?
I guess so. Well, thanks so much, Jerry, for being with me today. Keep up your excellent work on getting the word out to older adult caregivers and those baby boomers. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Once again, thanks so much to Bonnie DeGweck and Phyllis Korski of After 50, a wonderful monthly magazine, Amy Remley, who writes the Ask the Life Coach column in After 50, Jerry Flashner, thank you again for your publication, the work you do with Living Primetime, that full iceberg that we talked about. And thanks also to Simon and Garfunkel for singing Write Me a Letter, reminding us to keep the written word coming no matter what the news. Next Monday, I will be here to take your calls and talk about hearing loss, one of the major problems affecting older people today. I'll have with me an audiologist, a representative of Self Help for the Hard of Hearing organization, also known as SHRA, and a local physician specializing in problems of the ears, nose, and throat. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. See you next week. Thank you.